Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl for 2-in-1 disinfection, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Shift and steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, welcome to Shift and Steer. And I want to say one thing as we start this show. Welcome to the party, pal.
There we go.
Aaron, heard that for a while. Did you miss it?
Yeah, I missed you guys. I've been doing stuff.
If you don't follow Aaron on Instagram, then you haven't seen all of his videos. And my big question is, when you move, Aaron, what are you going to use for content? You won't have bears. You won't have snow. You won't have your shop. I mean, it's just going to be, you know, nothing.
You just wait. I'm going to actually have a life down in Napa. Not that I don't hear it.
Other than shoveling snow and looking at bears.
So. I mean, that's a pretty incredible life. And yes. And when you spell it all out, it's like, damn, you know,
you have had one hell of an adventure moving. I can not imagine moving my shop or my warehouse. Don't ever want to do it. That's why I'm trying to sell everything, so I don't have to.
Yeah, I don't want to do it either. I know you've been trying to sell stuff, too, and I see your dad razzing you a little bit on Instagram. He's like, I thought you were done. I thought you were already in Napa.
Yeah, he has the privilege of having other people move him. I had my daughter and my future son-in-law here to help. Other than that, my friend Raph came by and took a big load of trash. I've pretty much been solo through the whole journey. And finding solutions, you know, it's expensive to move and it's hard when you've accumulated so many things, you know, building rat rods and doing classic cars, you just kind of hoard parts because they're hard to get. And when you're building rat rods, you want the inspiration of all those relics and all that stuff. And you just amass this huge pile of stuff. And I've just had to sort through it. Everybody's like, well, let me help. What are you going to help with? I'm just sorting through stuff, you know, and it's really time consuming and having weather looming over my head, which that's a big part of getting out of Tahoe, is just having that sense of urgency of winter all the time. And then you have the aftermath and then you have the preparation and it's exhausting. And after 20 years, it's just not the lifestyle that I want. You know, Tahoe's amazing and incredible and such a privilege to be here. But we're just, you know, we want a different life for what we do, being car guys. Hey, I want to drive all the press cars, you know? And
you didn't hear it? They're not doing those anymore.
Yeah, they canceled press cars.
They canceled it.
Well, I've had some press cars. I had a 2007 moving truck, and I had a 1994 moving truck, and now I have a 2002 E350 van.
Aaron, once you get all settled down there, seriously, you should do a driving impression video on those vehicles. It would be great. We went to the local winery and drove the E350 van.
Oh, I got to tell you, yes, I have taken the overlanding, quote, overloading lifestyle into my moving trucks. The first one going down, it was snowing and raining and it was pretty sketchy. And the second one going down, it was snowing and raining and pretty sketchy. And they're so overloaded, man. I got to say, I don't know what it is, but I must, because I'm right-handed, I guess I've overloaded the right side more than the left. I tried to be really, really strategic in balancing it out, but you know, there's no way to tell unless you weigh it as you go. Left turns are scary. I feel like the truck's going to roll to the right. I mean, just like, whoa.
Yeah. As you start digging through, because what you're talking about is just the shop. You haven't even touched the house yet,
no,
right?
I haven't touched the house, right?
This is just the shop. But after years and years, like you said, of accumulating things, Brad has a little bit of this as well as he was building his loft. It's like, you just can't imagine until you really dig into it how much stuff has been accumulated and packed into the corners and put away and stacked up high. And you're like, I don't have that much square footage. And how did I get all this stuff in here with all this?
Tetris,
and you
man.
Especially have had Tetris. Shit hanging from the ceiling and just so many little things. And it needs a good sort of purging, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's the best part of this is not only the future of some peace of mind and relaxation of just being an artist and not going to the shop every day and fiddling, but just that purge. It feels so good to give away what people have given me. You know, it's like, hey, I don't need this anymore. You do. Or here, I've got one. I've got two, you know. And it feels really good to kind of give back to the community that supported me all these years. That's a big, cool, awesome takeaway from all this is you know, I haven't asked for a lot of help, but I've been able to give back and pass on things that I've been a steward for many years. Bogey came and picked up all the Isettas, and she brought the Katies with her, Katie and Katie, and I gave her the little mini. Because I'm like, what am I going to do with the mini? I would love to put it on the Suzuki Samurai chassis, but I'm not going to get around to that. I'm not looking to do this anymore, and at least for a while, you know. And so we filled a 26-foot U-Haul full of Isettas and Mini Coopers. And the story continues because I brought them here in a 15-foot U-Haul. I mean, you know, so it's she just got smarter.
Let's hope the story continues that they actually – something happens with them, you know, not like the cars you and I have that just sit around, you know?
No. And that's the thing, Brad, is life is busy enough that it's hard to get to projects when you have only a couple months a year to do them along with everything else in your life. You really start to recalibrate and look at your life and go, do I want to just sit on all this stuff? And it starts to pile up because I can't get to it. You know, and we took one trip this year, one trip, the Alaska trip, and it screwed up everything for doing anything else. And now I'm just rushing around trying to pack it all up before winter. And I got to say, last year at this time, we had waist deep of snow. We were four feet in.
You came back from SEMA to.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to complain about the 6 inches on my deck. You know.
Now let me ask you something, because something that I think you can relate to, because I've do this every weekend, I think. When you're going through things, how many times did you say, oh, I forgot I even had that?
You know what? Everybody's been asking that. Two questions, that and what's Nick going to do when you're gone? My best friend up here. You know, I've only found a couple things that I was missing. And they were like, what is it doing here? I had a bunch of sheets of like that textured plastic, I forget what they call it, but for model making or for making little panels, you know, I had bought a stack of it and it was out in my 40-foot container in the very back underneath some other boxes. And I'm like, I never would have put it here. So I must have lifted up a bunch of boxes, like empty boxes from C-Tech and stuff after a post. And I must have put it down as a foundation. And then when I picked up the stack of boxes, I must have picked it up. And it went with it because I've been looking for that for like 2 years and someone just wanted to make something like, oh, I have some of this stuff, but I can't find it. And I found it. That was probably the one thing that I was like, what the hell is it doing back here? And that's all I could think of is that I grabbed it.
But I mean, I have things that I don't know where they are, but you know, I'm like, I know I've got one of those. But I mean, also, I literally open a box, go, oh, I didn't know I had that. You know, I completely forget. And it can be anything from something printed all the way up to an item. I found just last night the original, excuse me, and these are press kits, but press kit for when they announced in 2003 they were going to do the Bronco, and it's the concept Bronco press kit, and that Cobra, remember the Ford Cobra that they were going to redo, Matt, and they had Shelby involved in it, and it was
that car is called Daisy, and Bo Bachman, Project Daisy, owns
and it just sold. It just,
no, Bo owns
it. The original press kit. I didn't even know I had it.
Oh, you should send it to Bo because he's got the car.
Oh, is that who bought it, Bo?
Yeah, Bo has the car, and he had it on display at the LA Auto Show and his open house event. I love that car. That's a V10.
It's cool.
It's
very cool.
Bud Brutzman filmed, I think, an episode of Rides with it, like right toward the end of sort of Carroll Shelby while he was alive.
Yeah, because they took Carroll Shelby out to Irwindale and let him drive it. He took some hot laps in it. So Project Daisy.
Bo has the car. It's in the Galpin Museum.
I didn't know he's
the
one who bought it. Okay, cool.
I'm going to have to look that up. I don't think I'm familiar with that car.
Very cool.
It's cool. It's a very modern interpretation of a Shelby Cobra. You can see it's got sort of some... It's when they started doing the Ford GT, whatever, 2005. So it kind of got like some of those hard edges, some of those hard lines and stuff to it. So it's cool looking. It's a very, very cool project car. Great episode of Rides, I believe, that they did.
Oh, yes. I remember
that. That one?
Silver.
Yeah. It's like silver stripes. I think blue interior.
So they didn't make them at all? I thought they did.
They just made that concept. I think they just made the one full like prototype of it. But I remember it having like a V10 engine in it. They did, and I think they supercharged it. I think it was kind of like what the Ford GT was doing with the supercharger, and the GT500. It has, but on a 10 cylinder.
I'll post a couple photos of the press kit for everybody to see, but. It's like the kind of stuff that you just forget that you even own or had acquired. And this thing is a 50 page bound press kit, and it's got everything. It's like you said, Matt, it says in here, we coined it Project Daisy, and it shows, Carol with it out at the track, and it does all of the, you know, it's got all the highlights and shows.
Yeah.
Wow. How cool.
I would imagine Bo has that, whoever like got the car has it, but if you're not doing anything with it, just gift it to him. He's such a good
man.
Kid.
I've cherished this for years.
you forgot about it since it came out. And then, the concept Bronco prototype. I'm surprised no one's already been to SEMA with a version of that car based off of the new Bronco. Like somebody must have been rebodying, you know, because it's so modular. I'm surprised that hasn't been fully done yet.
Well, maybe once we post the photos of the press kit, someone can do that. So
you can do it, Brad. You can be able to.
You know what
it.
I did find?
I could do the clay and do it right in my garage again.
There you go. I found the press kit for the Zeta Marauder, Claudio's V16.
Claudio's,
pre-Diablo. I found the whole press kit for that. I mean, all the posters and all the pamphlets and keychains and like all the stuff.
I know, isn't it amazing the stuff we hold on to? That's what's crazy. So what was the single most difficult item to move? Other than your lev rack.
You know what? It would surprise you. My portacool. My portacool. Because it was starting to snow and my forklift was spinning out. and I was trying to maneuver the portacool into the last remaining space.
Oh.
And so I had to load it sideways. It still had, I don't know, a couple gallons of water in it. So it was sloshing about and it wouldn't fit on the forklift properly. And I'm out there and it's, you know, 20 degrees and dumping snow and it's cold and it's wet and it's dark and I'm working under lights. And I dropped it off the forklift twice. It fell on me once. It didn't break. The thing's amazing. It broke my light and it almost tipped over the forklift. I would say that was probably the most challenging night. I think I cussed out loud a few times. I kicked a few things, which my foot hurt anyway, so that wasn't fun. I burned myself on the light. I got wet. It was just one of those things where I'm wrestling with this portacool over like a couple inches, like to get it into the space. It was a couple inches I had, and that's it. And I couldn't get the wheels over the forks on the forklift, and then it would get stuck in the holes in the back of the moving truck. You know, they have those little slat holes for, I don't know, something. One of the wheels got stuck in that, and I couldn't get it out. And I mean, it was one of those things where I'm wrestling with this thing for like an hour, and it only weighs like 105 pounds. You know, it's not horribly heavy.
And 100 of that was the water that you left in it.
Exactly. But it was at my chest level. And I'm working precariously between, you know, like two and a half feet of forks on a 3,000 pound forklift. You know, it was just one of the, and I'm all by myself and I had no help and I just could not wrestle this thing. And finally I had to pull off the Lincoln fume extractor to get it in there. And then I had to wrestle the fume extractor because the snorkel for it, it only moves in certain directions and it won't move. It has this long ass snorkel and I could not get the thing to disconnect. And that was cold and dark and snowing. So I couldn't get the thing to disconnect. And so I had to stretch it as far as it would go down into the truck and then try to lift it, maneuver it off the forklift. And it was just brute force. It's like that's so much of this job is just brute force. just push that round thing into a square or square thing into a round hole until it conforms. That's really what I've been doing through most of this experience.
and stacking your flooring's never a fun job either, especially when
you know what,
up on a trailer.
That was probably the easiest thing I had to do, honestly. That it's the Swiss tracks. I don't even know how much it weighs, but I put it on my little trailer that can hold 2,500 pounds and it's fine. And then I put my drafting table on there and I put my light table on there and tied them all down and got home. And I'm surprised nothing fell off because they were all running around on the trailer loose. And I'm like, holy shit, how did I manage to screw this up? And it's still sitting in the driveway. But I've had a couple close calls, but other than that, I got to say, I love the Costco bins, and I don't care if they smell a little like weed from the last guy that used them. I got them cheap, and boy, they were lifesavers. And you open the truck on a hot day, and you're like, wow, that's intense. But I got to say, you know, they organize
those
so
black
nicely.
Ones with the yellow tops?
Yes.
They I know, stay I've got some place. Of those. Those are good. They're huge.
Yeah,
they're huge.
They can take some weight, 27 gallons. Man, I was so reckless with them. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put 3 blankets in this one. Fuck it. I got 50 of them, you know, and I ended up having 86. I had 86 bins.
Did you use them all?
Wow.
Yep. Between two trucks and a van. And let me tell you, it is beautiful.
You're going to need another 86 bins for the house.
Well, yeah. So we're going to have to go and buy some more bins, but you know, the house is, there's no concern for the house because long story short, typical Tahoe stuff, insurance company never got a hold of me. They just cut a check to a contractor that they chose. So they have a $40,000 deposit. And then they never called me until a couple weeks ago. And they're like, oh, by the way, did you want us to do the work? I'm like, yeah, a check was cut. What's going on? And they're like, oh, we'll be there Tuesday. Tuesday's 2 weeks ago. And now it's winter. So
and what are they we'll doing?
I don't know. I literally don't know. I was not part of the conversation. Nobody called me. Nobody.
But nobody, I mean, what's the repair, Aaron? What's the repair?
I don't know. They came and looked at the house and came up with the repair order that I have not seen. So there's a bunch of weird shit going on. And, you know, it is what it is. So in the spring, they'll fix the house and we'll put it on the market. So, you know,
right.
we
are can't just sell gonna... it in the winter. I mean, you could.
No. Yeah.
You could try to start moving shit out of it, but
yeah,
which pack is why it up and, you know, yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Which is why I bought the Honda Element, because it's basically you take those rear seats out and it's a little box van. And it's all wheel drive and it was cheap and they're awesome and they're utility and I can just drive it back and forth and go, oh, I'm going to go and get my printer and a few art supplies and drive it up.
I'm
and drive
sorry
it
to tell you, Goldilocks, you're going to come back and you're going to have the three bears living in there.
Nah, you know, I think we'll be here every couple weeks and we have some real tight neighbors and you know, that I can't walk around the house naked without getting a text. Hey man, you might want to put some clothes on. I'm like, what? You know, they see everything. So
what
the 86 bins that you just brought to Napa from your shop, hopefully you labeled them. Yes. Because I can't imagine opening the back of a box truck going, staring at stacks and stacks of black containers and not knowing what's in any one of them.
Yes.
You've got to label every one of
out.
Them.
Dude,
spin the bin.
I embarrassed myself because not only did I take a picture of the contents, I wrote little notes and I made little labels and if I changed anything, then I took a new picture and deleted the old one. Yeah, I was totally nerdy about it. In every bin, I've got a photo and I've got its own little photo thing in my phone. It's like,
yeah,
it's
that's good. That's
little,
a good idea.
Its own little gallery.
Yeah, it's a good idea. As I was moving into here the past year and honestly, for me, as getting into a shop and starting over, the lev rack, super helpful. And, and pallets, being able to put stuff on the pallets and put those pallets in the air. And then label them. Yep. And then I have boxes and I would just, at the top of the lev rack where you can stack pallets and boxes, I would just make sure that every box facing out has something, you know, written on it, like a Sharpie written on it. So I know what it is before I climb up there next time and shuffle through it to see what I'm looking for.
Exactly. But... And then Matt, you zoom in on your phone and take a picture. Yeah. And then you zoom in on the picture and you read what you wrote on the notes. You know what? I've been looking for those plastic pallets. I have a lot of wooden pallets that I've used. And I bought so many at a storage locker blowout. I bought 40. Actually, I bought 48 because he sold a couple out of 50. But I bought for $200. I bought 48 of those dollies, of those wooden dollies.
Yeah.
And it says they're good for 1,000 pounds. I don't know about that, but you know, you put four of those or three of those on the bottom of a pallet, and now you have a rolling pallet. And that's what I did with all the Swiss Trax flooring. I took the exact size pallet for six. Let's see, they were three wide, three long, three deep, you know, like a square of Swiss Trax, and I made the pallet. I cut it down to that exact size. Reinforced it so they lay flat, and then reinforced the bottom. And then I took three of the dollies and made them work to where I squared up the bottom. And then I cut them up and screwed on the rest of the wheels in designated places so it would support the whole load. And then I just rolled it around and just, you know, as I pulled up a section, I would just roll it near it and stack it up. And I stacked it almost 6 feet high with the entire floor from inside and outside, and then strapped it all down to the pallet. And then I winched the pallet up onto my little trailer and there it sits.
So I mean, you strapped it all down. Now, because my beverage company is in here, I have the big shrink wrap. You know, and we use those for the pallets of beverages. There's 100 cases each. That's, you know, 2,400 six packs on there, weighs 2,200 pounds. And they've all just got to be sealed up. Otherwise, we just fly everywhere.
That's
so I've done that.
Do
I've done it with boxes. So I have the clear shrink wrap. I've put boxes on pallets, labeled the boxes facing out, shrink wrapped the pallet, and you can either see the boxes in there, or you can add, you know, you just tape, put tape on it. And then it's also pretty easy enough and cheap enough that if you need to get in there, sure, you cut the shrink wrap off, and then you can wrap it again if you need to wrap it again. But really, when you
use that stuff for everything, and then we've got the little ones on the handle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can seal stuff up. You can do, it's great. I mean,
I was looking into that, but I have to say, I felt very environmentally guilty moving forward on that. You know, it's, I've received a couple things and had to cut all that stuff up. And there was so much of it. I just went, God, this is a horrible.
You know what that's made out of, don't you?
Uh-uh.
They use dead jellyfish. So only dead ones that are on the seashore. So
well, now, Brad, it's funny.
You can recycle all the plastic.
Because there is a company that's making it out of something else, and it's not plastic, and I know they're gaining some traction. And you know me, I mean, I try to be conscious of this stuff, but not like, you know, environmental. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I felt so guilty about doing that. I couldn't do it, so I just strapped it, and it's holding fine.
Did you have a single load where you think you were driving down the road and people were pulling up alongside, going, "Oh, dude, that stuff's gonna fall off." Were you that guy?
No. I even visually, I've put more straps than I've needed just to kind of, you know, give everybody else the impression of safety. And actually, with the Swiss tracks, because they're on a dolly, it does move around a little bit, and I was concerned about that. So I'm actually good after I strap it. I'm actually going to put wood 2x4s and kind of square it up so it doesn't slide side to side. And then I'll probably screw one or clamp it with some really good vise clamps to the deck, so that it doesn't slide around. It's just one extra thing, you know, one extra precaution, because it did slide around quite a bit. Even
it's always
fully
better strapped. To overdo it than be sitting on the side of the road looking at your stuff for 2 miles back. You know, that's never a good thing.
I towed the one of the Mustangs up or the truck up to get painted the Lightning years ago. And yeah, people were rolling up next to me and waving and flagging and whatever. And I'd blown like 2 tires on that trailer on the way with the truck on the back. And then I pulled into a place and it was just like, put 4 tires on this trailer, jack it up with the truck on it and everything, and I'll be back in an hour. And they got it done, but whatever, it just added $500 to my trip.
And you know what?
I've never blown tires on a trailer.
Yeah, Brad's got a lot of stories about blowing tires on trailers. You know, I get a lot of people waving at me about loose straps, and I pulled over several times and none of them are ever loose. What it is it's all the extra strap that you kind of wrap around and tie off somewhere.
Yeah, you got to tie it off.
And it gets loose and people think your load is loose. So then you pull over and you're like, no, the load's not loose. They're like, yes, it is. It's loose. And then you got to pull over and see it's not loose. So what I've been doing is I've been rolling them up and taping them.
That's what you're
I just
you
take a bunch
tape
of duct tape and
use
and
that. No, them. Use that black, that clear plastic wrap around it.
Yeah, use a plastic wrap. A zip tie.
How is it holding?
It's
been quite an adventure, but my adventure that ended yesterday was my friend Nick gave me this van that's been sitting in his yard, this E250 van. And it's a cargo van. It's got the whited out windows, and it's only running on 7 cylinders, and it's just storage, right? So I'm like, well, it'll make it to Napa on 7 cylinders. You hardly even notice except for the vibration initially. Yeah, you know. And it's just covered in tree funk, right? Just moss and mildew, and it's just covered. And so I take it out back. I don't even pressure wash it. I just rinse off the pine needles. I'm scraping them off with my hand. You know, he's laughing at me going, you're such a dork. And I said, hey, I want it clean. It's going to be sitting on someone's property and I don't want it to be an eyesore. I even painted the bumpers, you know, just to elevate it. And so I lift up the hood and I'm just, you know, spraying off just underneath the glass area, just the cowl, making sure that all the pine needles are out. Well, lo and behold, it won't start, right? You know what happened. All the water migrated down into the coils. The coils were dried out, no more lubrication, filled up the spark plug holes with water. And now it's not hydrolocked because it didn't get into the cylinders. It just So for those of you that don't know, what happens is these coils have a big spring in the middle, and that spring runs current from the ignition, right? From the distributor down to the spark plug. It's no longer just a little clip that goes on the back of the spark plug. It's this 6-inch coil. And when that gets full of water, it doesn't conduct through the coil. It conducts through the water. So it doesn't ignite the spark plug. So the truck won't start. So I sit on this thing for 4 days. I eventually just take my forklift and push it into the shop. So I roll it down into the street, back up the forklift, and just push it via the bumper all the way into the shop while my buddy drives it. And then I just load it. I pack this thing all the way to the ceiling. You can't even get fingers in between stuff, right? It's magic. And yesterday I finally tackled the coils. I did all 7. And actually, I did all 8 just in case
only that 7 because it only
yeah. In case that 8th one turned out to be a spare, you know, and it fired right up. It fired right up. But what a shitty job that is in a van. Yeah. You're working front
anything
to back.
Anything in a
you're,
van. Oh,
you're inside. You're outside. You're inside. You're outside. Just trying to get to these fiddly little things and working them. I didn't take the fuel rails off. I didn't take any of the plumbing off. I just went through a lot of gloves trying to squeeze everything in and out of there. And I was just delighted when it fired right up.
And that one has a little bit of a nose on it. The motor's a little more forward.
But all the cooling is in front of that. So you have to reach in. You know, my back hurts and my foot hurts and I'm on a ladder and I'm just, you know, Spider-Man all over this thing.
But it's like that safari van that I had. Remember, I gave it to my brother-in-law. That thing. I hated working on it because you had to take the doghouse off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take the doghouse off. You had to take half the interior out, you know?
Well, thankfully this is already gutted. So all I had to do is take the doghouse off and then take the lower panel.
It was like just metal panel. Floors and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he had already removed all the seats, all the center. He removed everything. So it was a pretty clean slate. I got off easy, but I couldn't get anybody to do the job. I called all my mechanic buddies. I'm like, come on, I'll pay you whatever. Just do it for me. They're like, oh, no, man, I ain't touching that thing. Yeah. It sucks.
I thought you were going to tell me there was a family of rats or squirrels or something living
down
in there.
I thought so too, but.
Well, that, you know, when you're blowing air, high pressure air down into that gap, because I left the spark plugs in there. I didn't want to pull those. I figured they were fine because they weren't drowned. But man, when you're blowing all that, man, I came home and I said, hello, the dog. And I walked right into the shower. I'm just like, and put my clothes in the fireplace.
I mean, up there, especially, you're so fortunate that a squirrel didn't get in there and start gnawing on everything.
I know. Well, Nick is kind of abrasive and creatures don't like him. So they don't really mess with his stuff.
They think he's Sasquatch over there. You know, we're not messing with him.
when you worked on the engine a little bit, does it fire up all 8 cylinders now?
No. It's still so.
There's
so
a squirrel living in that 8th cylinder.
Well, I guess the story is that something happened with the spark plug, and they couldn't helicoil it, and it ended up messing up a valve. And as you know, you don't want to pull a valve cover and try to do a head job on a van engine with 273,000 miles. You just call it a day. But it runs like you wouldn't even know that it's not all 8 cylinders. There's a little bit of vibration, and with the doghouse off, I could hear that of that cylinder firing with nothing in it, you know, just rattling in there. But it drives totally normal. It doesn't vibrate. It doesn't shake. It doesn't hesitate. It just kind of drives normal. So
it's just blowing all that unburnt fuel out that 7 cylinder.
No,
exhaust.
we disconnected the fuel injector. So there's no fuel in there. Yeah. It doesn't even, I mean, it puffs white smoke because, you know, it was sitting for so many years. But after I drove it, it didn't even have any white smoke coming out of it.
This guy.
Right? I mean, it'll never pass smog.
My warehouse next door, the chair of Walwith, is this guy that does work for the cable company. And he doesn't work in the houses. He does the outside stuff, the poles, the lines. He does all of that. So he's got a big bucket truck, giant reels of like cable in his place that weigh a ton. It takes, a forklift and 8 people and whatever. But his daily like work vans are just, he's just got this small fleet of like three shitty white work vans that he's like, my guys love these vans. And he goes, and when something's wrong with the engine, we just, he goes, there's a junkyard that he goes to and they pull used engines out and they come and install it for him in his warehouse.
Wow.
They show up with an engine.
I guess you have to pull the front end off. So if you pull the front end off and the radiator, I guess the motor just comes straight out the front and it doesn't look that bad. Yeah.
He's engine swapped these. They have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles and he's engine swapped them like three times each and it's like $1,200 and the guys come and just do it for him. They just take the old engine and they put in another used engine with 80,000 miles on it and see if he can get another 100,000. And it just seems like every 2 years he swaps engines. I've only been here for a few years. He's done two vans over there at least.
I got to say that the van is holding up beautifully. There's no damage to it. The seals are good. It, you know, the interior looks decent. I mean, it looks decent. Like once I just cleaned it off and painted the bumpers black again with a little SEM, you know, a little SEM paint, the thing looks nice. Like it wouldn't be offensive driving down the street or sitting in your, you know, in the side of your house for a little while.
Just don't park close to any schools.
Yeah, that's what Nick said. Nick said we should put free ice cream on the side.
Yeah. you know, it's funny is I was driving. Was I driving a white van? No, I don't even know if I was driving. I don't know. I was outside like a Toys R Us and there was a white van there. So I took a picture of the van with the Toys R Us behind it. And I did a post years ago that I wrote candy. I just wrote candy. And some guy was so mad. He's like, I'm so sick of guys like you making fun of our white vans and we got to have these vans. I was like, come on, dude. Like, it was an animated fucking meme that was a joke and he's losing your mind. I was like, if this is how angry you are over a joke post, clearly a joke post, I was like, maybe you should get out of the white van business.
The only response to that guy needs to be, you're getting a little too upset about this. What's the deal?
Yeah. Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, this has a 2-inch hitch receiver on it. So I'm thinking of putting the little trailer with the Swiss tracks and the tables.
Yeah.
I think I might just hook that up and just drive it straight down to the property and just leave it there. And
that's the little trailer that you towed the Mini to SEMA
on? Yes. Exactly. Because it's a small trailer. It's lightweight. And I figure I'm down a cylinder. So I'll use half a trailer.
There you go. You know, I don't have anything against those vans, except for the guy that I saw about a year and a half ago. And he pulled up next to me. I wanted to get a photo of him, but I couldn't get my phone out fast enough. I think it was a Chevy van, like from the 70s. And he had black fur glued to the entire outside. It was just black fur. And I was like,
gosh,
it was just the weirdest looking vehicle, man.
That's what people do with vans, man. But usually it's on the inside. And it's like purple or lime green.
Although, Brad, we did see, I think, maybe you and I both saw it. Maybe it was a couple years ago. The furry van from Dumb and Dumber.
The dog van.
Yeah. Wow. So it's probably a recreation, but somebody recreated that van and sold it at Barrett Jackson. To be fair, they sold it on like a Wednesday afternoon. It was in the back lot, like behind the Salon Collection, like that last row outside.
How about that GT3 Porsche that I posted the other day? You guys see that? The GT3?
I don't remember.
With the Christmas tree on the car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm going to do that with the Morgan. I'm going to do that with the Morgan when we get down there.
Yeah. I saw that guy, and he's cruising down the freeway. I mean, flying. He's not, you know. And I get off the freeway behind him, pull up next to the intersection, and I thought, wow, this dude is hauling home his Christmas tree and has it strapped to the carbon fiber wing.
So Amber Blonigan, I think, made that trend famous years and years ago. She had like her purple Porsche, and then she's done it on a McLaren, and it's wildly popular on social media.
And then wrapping the lights and having them come out the window of your car. I just was like, God,
I'm doing it. I'm doing it on the Morgan. I'm doing it on the Mini. I'm totally gonna do it.
On the Morgan. So just put a little tiny Christmas tree on the Morgan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you gotta light it up and plug it into the USB, you know. And it's because just... I'm moving on to a property where my friend owns, and they're all Jewish. So, you know, I have to do it very quick and then leave the property because, you know.
Just leave the property. Well, yeah, we already started Hanukkah. I did the show with Goldberg the other day and he pointed it out. He's like, today's first day of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah. I was like, yes, I hope you get something good. He was hoping on his first day of Hanukkah, he was getting his Dodge Demon 170, which was supposed to be delivered and it's been late, but he's working on
that. Is that the one with 170 horsepower?
That's the one. That's the one with 170 horsepower.
Would it be offensive if we started an annual tradition where we did something for the show and we called it Hunkana, you know, and it was all car related? We exchanged gifts or anything?
Oh, I
would
I,
be offensive, I, would it?
I just slid off my chair a little when you said that.
I mean, because realistically, Hanukkah is not, it is a Jewish tradition, but it's a tradition. It really doesn't, it's more about celebration and food and gifts. Yeah. It's not really part of the religion. It's
no.
So we can do Hanukkah. So. Go ahead, Aaron. You start that.
All right.
So, see how it goes.
Aaron, what have you,
I'm sweating.
What have you sold? What's still up there? I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook. There's definitely things you need to still move.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough thing. It's like I have all the stuff from the Jeep. Like I'll never put it back on the Jeep. The tailgate, the bumpers, the rubber mats, some of the graphics. It's like, no, come and take all of it. But I've gutted the tailgate of all the harnesses and the backup camera. And, you know, it's like, what do you do with that stuff? I can't throw it away. But what do I do with that?
Somebody who goes off-roading or even interested. Drives around and gets hit.
Well, that's what you would think, but it's to a Mojave, so it's orange and black, and you know, it's, you know, but I mean, I have a nice steel rear bumper, and I've got the stock front bumper, but I had to gut them and take all the brackets. So, I agree.
Very rare lightweight versions.
But that's the thing. It's like with the urgency, I don't have a place to put it at this point. I don't have a way to transport it, and it will probably just sit out front of the shop and say free, and if it doesn't go anywhere by the time I'm out of there, I got to throw it away. And that stuff really bothers me. I've had to throw away things that really shouldn't have been thrown away. The whole interior of the Macan that the place in Arizona said, oh, we'll probably give you a couple grand for all that stuff. I had to throw it away. I had to throw it away. I didn't have a way to transport the entire interior of a Porsche Macan. We're talking seats, headliner, door panels, everything.
What do you mean? You just said you had a trailer.
What, take it to Arizona?
Drive it to Arizona, get back, and by the time your net would be $50. Come on.
Oh, exactly.
You put it in Bogey's U-Haul.
Well, I would have, but I'd already gotten rid of it. So but yeah, there's a lot of stuff. The cab over, I just can't seem to get rid of that thing. It's a big truck, it's kind of a niche market, and people are lowballing me that I want to punch them in the face. You know, they have a lot of value, especially if they're running and driving. And the people that are lowballing are saying they don't have any value because people just want the shells. Okay, asshole, the shell's going for $13,000. I'm asking $10,000. You know, it's like, God.
It says that, Aaron. Just go, unbolt the shell and just take it.
I hate selling stuff. But I got to say, I've sold everything pretty smoothly. You know, the snowblower, the old Ducati, the blah, blah, blah. It's all gone. And I'm pretty much just down to the Porsche wheels, which are kind of the ones that nobody wants. You know, it's the 5-star, you know, flat side, you know, alloys. I've got those and I've got the cab over. Pretty much everything else is gone. I've got a couple stereo things that I'll probably just end up giving away. And I'm going to try to have a little yard sale this weekend, a little garage sale. And see if anybody wants to come by and go through anything, but it's really just scraps. It's just stuff. It's little fenders from a 77 Suzuki GS550 or something. You know, I mean, just it's stuff like that. It's
know what it is, and you've been in this situation. It's the stuff that no one needs right now, but someday they're going to really need it. And you're going to go, oh, God, I had that and I threw it away. And I've been in that situation. All three of us have, where you go, man, I need a such and such part so bad. I can't find one anywhere. And somebody tells you, oh, man, I had one of those. I threw it away last week, you know, and you're like,
And that's the thing. It's like it was a really clean 77, you know, Suzuki 550 GS or whatever. And it's like, it's not a real special bike, but it was the cousin to the CBs, which everybody wants. And you know, it's not a Honda. Cowie Suzuki. I think it was Suzuki. But anyway, you know, when people get on to those, you know, an original set of blinkers that were in mint condition, it sucks that I threw them away, you know, and I'm that guy, you know, and I feel bad about throwing away things that are perfectly good, but there just comes a time when, what else am I going to do? I can't. People are like, we should donate it. Where am I going to donate it? People, like, I can't believe how many people are like, well, you should call the Veterans of America and you should donate that stuff. It's like, donate what? A bunch of empty boxes that I threw away? People think that they're full of product. It's like, God, it's annoying.
Or a fender. Be like, hey.
Yeah, they don't want the blinkers off of a Suzuki because they wouldn't know what to do with them. You know?
Exactly. What's a veteran going to do with a bunch of blinkers from an old Suzuki? I'm going to make eyeballs for a...
If somebody wanted them, speak up. And if you're a veteran, then speak up.
Hey, contact me. They're yours, man. They're sitting on the shelf. But I've got an original exhaust system to a 749 Ducati. You know, it's like I've got carbon fiber mirrors and trim parts to a... some E-Series E92 BMW that didn't fit on the one that I had, you know, because they were slightly different. And, you know, what am I going to do with that stuff?
Some of the stuff that we collect, too, is like you can't sell because you can't ship it. Like I've got a set of almost new Hooker big block headers with a full exhaust that has H-pipe, everything that fits like a 70 to 72 Chevelle. It is sat leaning against the garage wall because I'm like, what am I going to put it on eBay and tell somebody, I'll ship it? Yeah, my semi truck? No, I don't think so. And I haven't been to the swap meet in decades, you know? Yeah. So it's like, that's a swap meet item. That's the only place you're ever going to.
You could do offer up the app and see if locals will.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I've done a few things. Like I was able to do some like car audio pieces and a few things like that. Sold some wheels, I think, you know, that way to, you know, local.
I forgot about offer up.
I put some stuff up there and it just sits up there for a long time.
I've just been using Marketplace, but that's the thing. When there's this much urgency, I'm trying not to have another storage. I'm not putting this stuff in storage. I'm not paying to store this stuff so that I could sell it for pennies, you know? So I'd rather just throw it away or leave it out front with a sign that says everything in this pile is free. Take what you
want. You know what? That brings up an item that we complain about all the time about eBay or any of those places, because people try and lowball you on there. And it's like, wait a minute. You're not taking into consideration. Cause I had a guy that said, well, you've got three of them. I forget what it was, but I'm like, it doesn't matter if I have three of them, because if I go that low, by the time I pay eBay and then I pay PayPal and I ship it, I'm not going to pay to get rid of this item. You know, I mean, it's like, I'll give it to Aaron first.
You know, I had probably the biggest response like that off the snowblower. So, you know, I had an HSS 1332A, which is, you know, when I bought it, it was closer to $5,000. Because they were more expensive then. Then they came down a little bit. Now they have electric start and some of the mods that I paid for, they now come with. But California has caused a big problem with them and you can't buy them. And so Honda's kind of stalled production and you can't get them. And they're rumored to be not available till May next year. And anyway, they're a hot commodity. They're going for $6,000 online. So I got a lot of comments. Everybody's like, oh, you know, you're gouging, you know, you're asking $4,500. I said, that's retail. They're like, retail's $4,300. I said, after you go there, pay taxes, gas it up and bring it home, it's $4,500. And I said, that's just a starting point. I'll probably sell it for $4,000, jackass. So anyway, I just oh,
go,
so many.
If you
people.
Got a problem with it, go buy it retail then.
Exactly. Like, well, I can't find one. Well, then you're going to pay.
There you go.
You're
just, it's supply and demand.
Yeah. And here's the thing: is there's the older model, which is the one I kept because it's all manual. I kept that at the house because I like that one for the house because it sits outside and it's a little thrashed, and I didn't want to put the good one outside. I keep that one inside because it was very expensive, and I bought it new. And those are going for like $3,500 to $3,800. So when people are offering me, will you take 36? I'm like, no, that's the price of my other one. It's like, no, this one is what it is. I'm going to stand firm.
Yeah.
And it's like people just get so angry and so upset. And I'm like, can you even afford this? Is this something you're even looking at? Well, no, you know, I've got a 938. Well, then shut your face. It's like people just want to bitch. And they waste. I had 44 messages on the snowblower. And the guy that bought it didn't even message me on Facebook. He's like, hey, dude, I hear you got a snowblower. He goes, I was going to get one. I'll give you this much. And I'm like, fine, come get it. It's just like
yeah.
I'll take an offer if you're real about it. But the 44 messages were all bitching. They were just bitching. And
we
I'm like,
here
what?
Last week.
Get a life.
We talked about internet trolls last week about,
oh my God, you know,
about a guy who contacted me to tell me something was wrong in a listing. He wasn't interested in it at all. He just wanted to bitch about it. It's like,
yeah, that was that the first time. That reminded me. That was the first message I got. The guy goes, oh, the augers are bad on that. I'll give you $1,000. I said, the augers aren't bad. It's only got about 4 hours on it. Fuck you. You know, it's just like, God.
Oh, well, 4 hours. It's not even broken in. I'm going to have to break it in. I'll give you $500.
Yeah, exactly. He said the augers are bad. How can you tell the augers are bad just by looking at it? Because they have some scratches on them.
He is a snow blowing expert. Okay.
Exactly.
You're an You're an amateur. Okay.
Anyway, so I got to say that the selling stuff, I hate it. I really, really hate it. It's such a hassle and it just sucks. I'd love to see it gone. I'd love to have money in my pocket, but man, the process just sucks.
The selling of stuff and the buying and selling of stuff. I mean, then you start to understand how many people just want to get rid of stuff for free. They're like, just take it.
Yeah.
Just take
it. I'm kind of at that point now too.
Tammy's entire side gig, her thrifting business, it's all clothing, but that's the business is, she just gets tons of stuff, but has to go through the effort cleaning stuff, packaging it, listing it, shipping it, dealing with people. This is not what I ordered because they all run the scam and they're like, this isn't, you know, the way it was stated properly in the ad and it's like, you know, someone's got to give me a refund, but I'm going to keep the item and the, you know,
they all know the scam.
Yeah. That's the scam. Now,
terrible.
She's figured out pretty much what everyone's going to say, because she's been selling shit a lot longer than people have been buying, you know, like people that are trying to run this scam. She's like, I know everything you're going to say. Like I've seen it 100 times. Right. So
I sold a watch to a guy on eBay and shipped it to him. And I did the tracking. I did signature required. I did everything. Well, and the guy says, I never got my watch. And I go, it says that it was delivered. He goes, well, they delivered it. It says that it was delivered, but I never got it. And I said, well, all I've got to show is it's delivered. I mean, once it gets you, I don't control. I'm not the postman, you know.
Right,
you
right.
Get so many of those. You get to a point. This was a post I put up as a joke today because it was, I don't know if you guys can tell what that is, but it's the only autographed Taco Bell sauce pack available for $5, shipping included. Just because people ask so many questions about stuff and they just, you know, oh, are you going to list more stuff? But then you don't buy it. And so I just said, I'm going to put up an autographed Taco Bell sauce package and see.
Well, you know, I mean, come on. We've talked about it before. Sometimes on eBay, this stupid, freaky shit shows up.
I know, the weird stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at the eBay Pulse?
Uh-uh.
It's a thing called the eBay Pulse, and it shows these outrageous things that are for sale, and it's the high and the lows, and I mean it's nuts. It's crazy.
That's crazy. You know, when I buy stuff, I just try to find the best price, and I look at the item, and if I think it's fair, I just buy it. I don't I don't often haggle and go, oh, I got to haggle. You know, it's like, no, if it's a fair price, I'm just going to pay it. You know, it's like, God, you know, if someone's being unfair, then I don't even deal with them, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the same with eBay. It's like, or best offer. It's like, I'll offer $5 less. And a lot of the time they reject it. And it's like, whatever, it's a fine deal. I just buy it.
Yeah.
But
sometimes yeah, you put up something like a patch for like $5 and they go, and free shipping. And this is something I had recently, $5 patch, free shipping. Guy goes, I'll give you $2. I'm like,
oh God.
I know, you know, I mean, it's like, God, yeah. Man. So,
yeah. Hey, the low balling thing. It's just,
I mean, I know everybody wants to hear us bitch and moan and complain and talk about moving stuff and, you know, all that. So for another 45 minutes,
we should probably wrap up. Platinum problems.
Well, glad that you're getting down the hill. Now you're, how much do you have left? You almost done?
Yeah. So literally I'd say this is the home stretch. I'm really excited. You know, I'll stick around and hopefully get some art sales. So I'll be printing a little bit up until the holiday, but yeah, I'm looking forward to not going to the shop every day and having the distraction of tinkering with stuff that it just sits all winter. You know, I purged a lot of stuff and I'm really excited to just go back to being creative and being part of the automotive community and saying yes to events that I've had to say no because I can't leave because we're supposed to get 3 feet of snow tonight. I'm gonna have someone clear my driveway for once.
Come down and see me sometime. So
yes. Well, yeah. So I talked to Richard yesterday. I'm gonna be at MagnaFlow on the 8th of January, and then I have to go to January's. I will be on the 8th of January. And then I'm going to Lynxwell right after that. So I'll be in the area, Brad.
Let me know.
And we'll definitely do so. We'll go to Disneyland or something.
Yeah.
I haven't been there in years.
Matt, where can they find us? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, shiftandsteer.com is not a bad place. On the Apple iTunes, that's another good one. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And
as always.
Can they find you anywhere and hear about all your exploits over the holidays?
Check me out at Motorator on social media and Drink Bravago. Order some now. You guys gonna have a Christmas party? Order some Drink Bravago. You want to get a
there
gift
you
for somebody?
Go.
Order some Drink Bravago.
Aaron, what freeway can they find you on?
They can find me on the 80 and the 50 and the 101 and the 1 and the 37 and the 22 and the yeah, you can find me all over just Aaron Hagar. Yeah, actually, when this releases, you'll be getting an announcement for you St. Louis folks. So listen up, because I'll be doing a show at a little theater in St. Louis on April 14th. We'll talk about it later, but this thing came up. It's going to get announced on Monday, and I'm really excited about it. So keep an ear out for that if you're listening from St. Louis.
Okay, awesome. And me, you can find me at Bradley_Fanshaw, and WinBrad stuff, which has underscores between every word. I hate that, but it does. And and hey, it's our annual year-end sale. Buy 3 wheels, get 1 for free. Go to bondspeed.com or bondspeedwheels on Instagram. And we'll be back next week. And as always, that's a promise, not a threat.
Yahoo!
Thanks, everybody.
Cheers.
This show also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save